68 Thursday. Tired of hearing that story or that sound. So I'm going to sit down. Okay? 43 years ago, I turned 25 on Saturday, came to church on Sunday to preach my first sermon. So I am plagued with having a birthday and an anniversary just right bump together. But so I get old pretty quick. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 29. I do appreciate you being here today. It is special for Judy and I and Lillian. Lillian, would you please stand? Please. There you go. Give her a hand. She needs it. Some of you have been here considerable years, but nobody surpasses Lillian. She was here. Did you vote for me? I heard there was one dissenting vote. But I was told it was a teenager. But anyhow, Lily and I and Judy and her family, Earl, we go back in time. Numbers chapter 10, verse 29. Moses says to Hobab, the son of Reuel the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law. And here's what Moses says to Hobab. We're setting out for the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. And here's the invitation. Come with us and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised good things to Israel. If you take that a little bit different, you could apply that to the decision, the choices that we made 40 years ago. Sat down over there in front of Heath and he reminds me, hey, I wasn't even born then. And then Antonio gets up and reminds me, hey, I wasn't even born then. I don't care when you were born, okay? but today I want to take a few minutes just to say thank you. It's unusual, okay? Rare, if not prehistoric, for a pastor to stay anywhere 43 years. That doesn't happen anymore. It is also rare that a church keeps a pastor for 43 years. It's like everything else. There's two sides to that relationship. So while we look at it as shaving this morning, I'm like, I've done this for 43 years, getting ready on Sunday morning to go to church. But the same token, you have done the same. I heard him last week. Got to hear him again for 43 years. I'm going to take a few moments just to look back at our past. I don't live in the rearview mirror. I take it off. I don't need to look back. Sometimes it's not healthy. But I want to look back to 1964, the last week of July. Judy and I packed up our house in Wichita Falls, threw two kids. One, Tim rode in the car with Judy and Kevin, and the dog rode in the U-Haul truck with me. And we moved to Euless. Men met us that afternoon. We arrived, and they said, I think we found you a house. We can't get in it, but we can look in the window. And I'm like, well, okay, that's better than what you had 2 weeks ago when I talked to you. So we moved into that house the next day. Nanny, who has Judy's parents came down that night and met us. We showed them the house. I don't know if we could get in. But we get in the morning, I'm told. So they took us to the Holiday Inn. Same one, still there. It's changed its name a few times. And spent the night there. Got started mopping, scrubbing, painting, moving in, unloading the truck the next morning. We had been here two weeks earlier. The church had called us. They had heard a guy from New Mexico, and then I was next on the list to hear. I came here. The pastor who was here at the time was sick. I'll never forget. I taught Bible lesson right there in Sunday school. He went back over where Judy's sitting now. Actually, there's a few more pews back there then, and laid down. Really encouraging. He disappears from the scene. I don't know what's going on. I get up that morning and preach, and that afternoon I met with the four men of the church, and they tried to brief me on the church. I remember them telling me they were 11 mortgage payments behind. Now, granted, the mortgage payment back in that day was $142 a week. And they were 11 behind on that. And that they had a total of debt that they figured out would be between $120,000 and $140,000. And, no church problems that they knew of. But they didn't have any funds to pay down on that debt. They had no plans on how to pay down that debt. I remember Earl, Lillian's husband, telling me he brought a box, and I didn't know what it was. He didn't know what it was. He said, we keep getting these things in the mail, and they were coupons on all the bonds that had been let out and purchased. And there was not a whole lot of knowledge floating around here financially at that time. Earl was the treasurer of the church, and he was an airplane mechanic for a company called Brannis, if you remember that. But that was his career and his field. Their offer to move, they called me on a Wednesday night after I had been here on a Sunday morning. Called me on a Wednesday night, and their offer was I could move my family and my belongings at my expense if I wanted to come to Euless and Pastor Calvin. Not able to offer a weekly salary, certainly not any housing or expense allowance. You're probably asking yourself right now, why would you want to leave Wichita Falls? I had a desk, a house, a salary, did well on the staff there, secure. Why would I want to leave that and come to Euless? And I can only give you a couple of reasons. Number one, I was convinced this was where God wanted me. And number two, I was not quite 25. And if you remember not being quite 25, things don't matter to you when you're not 25. And it didn't matter to me that they couldn't pay me. It didn't matter to me that I had to pay my own way to get here. No house to live in. I had responsibility of a wife and two children, but that didn't seem to be a hurdle that we couldn't cross. My pastor, we had 2 weeks there between the time they called me and the time I was supposed to be here preaching. During those 2 weeks, my pastor in Wichita Falls and I got on the phone, and we tried to scramble up some money. We ended up convincing 8 pastors that I could go to Euless and stay there for 6 months if they could send an offering once a month. And most of the months, all 8 of those pastors came through. But that was the way it was. Shortly after I moved here, those pastors agreed $50 a month. Okay, so I was making about $400 a month trying to get everything together. I made an agreement. I talked with Burl, Cliff Tramble, Wayne Lee, Pete Marzelli. Those 4 guys. And I convinced them if they would, I would stay, not leave until we got this thing back together. If they would give me half of the checkbook balance at the end of every month. If we had $100 left over, then I could draw $50. We were in debt. That never happened. There was nothing left by the time we got through paying bills. It took us 10 years. I got a salary eventually, but it took us 10 years to get that debt down to zero. It stayed down there for zero as long as I'm going to be here. I'd like to take that offer today, if that would be still standing. I'll give you back my salary and take what's half in the checking account. First Sunday, I had 27 people. 27 people. My next Sunday, we grew to 17. We were off to a great start. What I had done is we had probably $400 or $500 worth of mechanic bills. The garage is over there where Burger King is now, and I remember driving up, walking up to find the owner and to tell him I'm the new pastor. That's after I had visited Easy Way, which was right across the street. We had debt there. Explained to them we would be paying them a little bit at the end of each month until we got them all paid off. I sold that bus. My pastor in Wichita Falls said, I'll buy that from you. You can keep it, but I wouldn't drive it anymore. It's a 1956 Ford bus. This is 1964. So when you stop running the bus, I lost all the kids. So we went the opposite way for several weeks like that. During those first 6 months, I remember getting a call from Richardson, Texas and Miami, Florida. Friends of mine who said, are you ready to resign yet? We got a place here for you on the staff. We'd like for you to come. And to both of those, I said, I'm not resigning. Don't plan on it. Having fun. Remember, I was 25 now. Having fun. I said, thank you, but no. During time of 43 years, I've had other offers to go. Always the same thing. No, I don't have any regrets. I have no reason to leave. Church has not always been healthy. At times when we struggle financially, I go out and get a job. I love one job I had of driving the shuttle buses, what they're called, super shuttle. That was right in my wheelhouse, because you picked up people at their house or apartment or business, and they had to be to the airport by a certain time. And I never was late with anybody. They sometimes got off the bus like this from my driving, but we never were late, got everybody where they needed. I love that job, because you had the excuse of I had to drive fast because I had to get those people there. Never, still, no regrets. During those early years, there were four other churches, and the pastor of Central, which is no longer, and the pastor of Wilshire, which is no longer, and myself came to Euless within the same period of time. The guy at Wilshire left about 2 months later, moved to Oklahoma, and the guy at Central, I remember having coffee with him at our McDonald's here in town, and he telling me one morning, I'm sick and tired. I'm going to do something this Sunday, right or wrong. And I'm like, kind of curious, isn't it? I never heard from him after that. So I don't know what he did. Never talked to anybody about it. But there was Faith Baptist, there was Trinity Baptist. Today, you can't find any of them. They're not here. They're gone. They may have been bought out by another denomination or something like that, but that church is not gone. In the meanwhile, we're here. We're not just here anymore. We're making a difference, making an impact. I remember those first few years, if I went into a place of business and open up a credit account or something like this, had they heard of Calvary, it was not a good thing. You just didn't tell everybody, I'm their pastor. It wasn't something that you wanted to brag of. I think our family has been blessed. I mean, it's a unique opportunity. We have a heritage that nobody else can claim. I don't meet many pastors who can tell the story that I can tell. You don't know many churches that can say, our pastor's been there 43 years. That's a short story. That's not one that is bantered about. So today is rare. Today's unique. Today is special. There's a word that I want to use today, and it's the word together. The Bible says in Psalms, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, two are better than one because they have a... Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two cannot withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. So the word together, you start looking through the Bible, it's there 400 times. Being together is an important principle in life when people are trying to accomplish something. They are better together than they are alone. And the Bible supports that very strongly. We've had prayers answered together. As I think about you and as I look out and I see your face today, I think about some of the times that we have prayed for things that needed to change, for things that needed to happen in your life, and we have prayed together for 43 years. Forgive me if I'm a lot personal today, okay? But my family, Kim's not here. She's out gallivanting around like any girl does. Just kidding. On vacation. Our family's here. Gavin, Judy, myself. Kim's missing. We're examples of your prayers. In 96, I lay in intensive care over in Baylor. It wasn't Baylor then, but in Irving Hospital. 13 days on life support. Our men came and anointed and had prayer over. I didn't know that. When Earl was sick and in the hospital, Lillian said, would you guys go and anoint him with oil and pray over him? And I gathered our guys together, and on our way up there, I made the remark, wish you'd have done that for me. And they remarked back, we did. I'm an answer to your prayer. I shouldn't be here. In 2003, got a phone call, get to the hospital, do not walk in, they will be waiting for you in a wheelchair. And they were talking about Judy. You have a possible aneurysm. They dug into her head on Sunday morning. Many of you were there. If you weren't there then, you came right after church. We filled up. A waiting room. The doctor comes out and says, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. There is a brain tumor on top of the blood vessel where the aneurysm is. We sewed her back up. We're sending her to Dallas. 4 brain surgeries later, she's here today. Prayer. Our latest, Kevin, last year, shocked us all. I have cancer. The big C word, we all fear, right? The people pray. People gathered together to pray. And we're here today. Together. You know as well as I, as you look across the room, some aren't here, but you are. You've had answered prayer. It may not have been a life or death situation, but God's answered your prayer. Carl's sitting back here today, answered a prayer. Shouldn't be here. You go look at his truck. You go see where that accident was, where he was basically tacoed in between two 18-wheelers. Archie and I went to the emergency room that night to see him. And he's sitting up in bed talking. He's got an apple on the size of an apple on his head. But he's talking. We figured to see bandages and braces and all kinds of stuff everywhere. Tubes. Answer to prayer. You have those same testimonies. Gene, I know, has the same testimonies of going through the fire. Together we have held hands, walked through the valley of the shadow of death together. Together we faced some fearful times, not knowing what was on the other side of that wall. But we've experienced God's answered prayer. We've experienced together people being saved, lives being changed. Acts chapter 2, verse 47, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Did I see Cheyenne somewhere? Is she here? You're here. Oh, back there with the heathens. Okay. I remember Kevin's two daughters and myself putting on a soccer camp 3 or 4 summers ago. There wasn't that many kids involved, but we played soccer, had a big time. I taught a little bit of a salvation message and asked if anybody wanted to get saved, and Cheyenne raised her hand. And I'm like, what? What in this world? And I talked to her, made sure she understood. I don't remember whether I baptized her or Archie. Vacation Bible schools, through all the years, we've had people saved. We work together. You guys found out this year, it takes a togetherness to pull something like that off. Missions trips, I think of going to Alaska. We drug our grandson along with us, and he led his first soul to the Lord in Alaska. Whatever we've done, that has kind of been our goal. Through community service with 6 Stones, through Night of Wonder, through camps, and everything that we do, we have seen lives change, and that's why we're here, and that's what we're here for. We won't know. I told my class this morning, I keep records. 807 people in 43 years, that's not very many, but 807 people have walked down this aisle and either became members of our church, received Christ as their Savior, rededicated their life, or came for baptism. That continues on today because that's what we're doing this morning. That's what it's all about, is to see people saved and lives changed. The Bible said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things become new. Psalms 40. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. That is why you leave a secure position and take the risk of following the call of God from life. People be saved. People will be in heaven. You might have been that person in a horrible pit. I look out here today. Rebecca's not here, but she wasn't here the first Sunday I came here. Some people, same thing with Randy. Not that guy, the other. Wasn't here when I came. These were people who have been born, got saved, got baptized, got married, and have children. And I was there. run out of the building today and start finding you a pastor who can say, I was there before they were born and I was there when they gave birth. That's one of the fun things about this thing is that Keith was just a punk kid, right? Caused us all kinds of trouble, right, Judy? We couldn't keep teachers in your class. I can say that since your mother just left. No. But as I look out at your, when I see your face, there's a whole story behind you. It's not just your presence here now. It's have been witnessed of the hand of God in your life all these years. We have seen God's work. It took us 10 years to get out of that debt. We didn't do anything until we got out of that debt. We borrowed, we pinched, we did everything that we could. I remember then when we put together the plans to build the Family Life Center, and one of our men stood up and said, I think we could go to the bank and borrow some money. And those pews that Roy and Antonio were in used to sit up here, and I used to sit over here. I couldn't get out of this one fast enough. I said, this church will have to find another pastor if they're going to go borrowing money, because I've spent 10 years of my life paying back somebody else's debt. We're not going to be borrowing money over my dead body. You can fire me tonight. Ever since then, we started raising money. That thing cost over $100,000 back in the early 80s. So we got it finished in the late 80s. And every nickel and every dime came through that offering plate. We've seen God work. I told you the other night about the plate glass windows out there. $1,000, no way to raise that. Two major remodels. These are not counting the ones that me and Dave Flotter just came up here on a Sunday afternoon with the power tools and ripped it apart and changed it, and we were ready the next Sunday. I'm talking about taking out pews, and taking out classrooms. Hadn't cost us a dime. And the things that we'll do from this point forward, as long as I remain here as pastor, won't be a debt. If God can supply the need afterward, I'm just thinking my God can supply the need before. Amen. We don't have any pressure. Oh, I hope we have enough people here that'll put enough money in the plate so we can pay the bills. That's not church. That's not the way God wanted us to come and worship. I think through the years we've had some great workers. I mean, we got guys now that are amazing. Flat. Amazing. I figured them out. I'm probably blowing my cover right here. But I figured them out. All I have to do now is, hey, you know what? Here's what we need to do. Or here's what needs to be done. And in a week, or just a matter of days or something, it's done. It's just done. Roy used to be terrible about this. Like, hey, we need to meet up here Friday to set up chairs. Oh, don't worry about it. We already got it done. What? But now we have been surrounded with a multitude of men who, they're like sharks. They can't wait to get some, to do something and serve the Lord. Can I tell you one of the things that makes pastoring a church fun is having people on the same page. We're not arguing, we're not wrestling, we don't have two different agendas going here. We're working in tandem, and we're working, guess what? Together. A great word, together. God has always been faithful, always on time. I had a guy tell me once, you worry too much about what God's going to do. God's going to do what he wants to do, and he'll do it just when he wants to. Yeah, but I worry about what if he doesn't. And through the years, I have learned God is faithful. Never early, never late, always on time, just with the right things that is needed. We've seen prayers answered. We've seen people delivered. We've seen miracles. I can sit here all day and talk to you about the little bitty stuff, but God has been faithful. Have a family that's been faithful. Judy and I, 50 years next year. Man, that's a long time. You say you're not 50, you're not 43, you're not 50 either. Together. We're not going to let her talk this morning in case you're wondering when her time comes. She doesn't get to talk. I've got a great wife. Some of you can figure this up. Little kids, put your ears together. Your hands over your ears. I got married when I was 18. Not the smartest thing to do, but it was done. We were both in college, both having to work to pay our way through. That's the way it was. Nearly 50 years. We're still at it. Some pastors can't stay married 43 years. I got lucky, guys. Got a great wife. Been faithful. We had to pry her fingers away from teaching the class. Taught day one up until a year or so ago. And it was not easy. Faithful to do whatever needed to get done. And as you guys know, they usually, we hand the stuff off that we don't want to do to our wife, right? Got two great kids, both of them in church, both of them serving God. Kevin serves us here in a vast capacity that few of us know. Kim serves her church in Waxahachie as a part of their praise band involved in their music. I'm waiting for one of them to get wild. I really am. Never caused us much harm. Some, but not much. We'll take it. God's blessed us like that. I've had the privilege of taking six of our grandkids. That's all we got. I think that's all we're going to get. But walking into the baptism water with each one of them over a period of by baptizing them in the Lord. Not many get to say that. Not many get that experience. I'm lucky, fortunate. The word is blessed. I got in a niche, Calvary Baptist Church in Mills. Drove down an old dirt road. We could see Roy's house, and he lives how many blocks over now? Four blocks over. He was our backyard. We were in his backyard. This was nothing but land. Kevin and Kim would come down here when Judy and I worked in the office, and they'd play in a bar ditch out here. There's no curb and gutter. We'd kill snakes down here together. It's been a life. Not over. Don't bury me yet. But today marks 43 years. And it's appropriate, I think, stop and count our blessings together. Now, a lot of these stories have been about me, but behind me has been my family and you. You are it. You have been faithful. Thus, this doesn't happen without a church that is faithful. There's something to be said when you say, my church has the same pastor it had in 74. It's there today. Says something about that church, doesn't it? I've seen enough churches and I've heard stories about enough churches to know we're rare. It's a rare thing for God to bless us as he has. Years of blessing. That's why I can take that text at Numbers chapter 10, verse 29, when Moses says to his father-in-law, if you come with us, we're going to treat you well. For the Lord has promised good things. Think about that. Let that sink in. Some of you have been here a year. Some of you 5 years. Some of you 10 years. Some 15, 20. All the way back to 43 for Lily. God is blessed. God has promised his blessings upon us. There are times when we've been disciplined, when we've gotten a spanking and had to, you know, learn from it. But I wouldn't trade you. I guess the biggest temptation was to go to Grand Junction, Colorado, on the other side of the Rockies. I love me some Rockies. We used to go skiing up in the Rockies. And I told Judy then, I'd love to live up here. When I got that phone call from a friend of mine saying, hey, the church in Grand Junction, Colorado is interested in calling you out in view of a call, would you be interested? I couldn't get past the Rockies. I didn't care what church it was. But I got to tell you, looking back over time, you made the right decision. I've made the right decision together. We walk together having made the right decision. You come with us, we're going to do you well, for God's promise to bless us. As a church, let's, after today, quit patting ourselves on the back and let's get back to work. Amen. There are people that are starting the school. They need a witness. People are moving into our area. They need a witness. I can't think of a better place for people to hang their hat and become family with us than this church. Maybe this morning you're looking for that, and hopefully today you found it. Maybe you are here today and you've had a little trouble trusting God. I don't know if I can really trust God. I don't know if I can give him my lot. God's never going to fail you. If you have trouble trusting God, start looking at this church. The testimony. Our testimony is we can trust God. We are here because we have to trust God. We're going to sing a song. We used to sing it a lot. And sing it again this morning. Not a salvation message by any means, needless to say. But it is a message that will, encourage you to put more faith in God, to be more faithful because he is faithful with you. It's an amazing grace, how sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. Guys, want to crank that up? Let's all stand. During this song, if you want to come, make a decision, Judy and I will be here, Holly and Archie are out.